right, all right, all right. Carnivore Soldier coming at you from Austin, Texas. Today we got another episode of Mission Carnivore. In this one, we have Stephen James, former Army infantry guy who joined right before 9/11 and then got activated and went active duty. Anyway, he's recovered a lot of his physical ailments through the carnivore diet and actually started running and actually ran his first marathon 6 months, I think, after starting the carnivore. So we'll talk about that. And he's also going to be starting a YouTube channel. So we'll talk about that too. All right, so let me bring him in and let him introduce himself, and we'll get to know Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how's it going, man? You're live.
Good. How are you?
Good. So, Stephen, why don't you just tell us about yourself a little bit, like where you're from, where you grew up, what you do, what you did in the Army, that kind of stuff, your service.
All right. Yeah, I grew up in New York State, upstate New York, right up around along the Mohawk River, essentially. Grew up mostly as a normal kid. I loved doing sports. I was really big into running in high school, track, cross country, all that. Those sports really broke me out of my shell because I was a shy kid. But when I got into running, I became like a completely different person, a lot of people would say.
I was a runner too. I ran mile and 2 mile, and I used to run a lot of distance. And my son actually runs cross country and mile and 2 mile and 880, which I ran the 882, which I hated. That's got to be the hardest race because it's not a sprint, but it's not distance. So you just got to be fast for 2 quarters. It's tough.
Oh, the 800 meter?
800 meter. We did 880 back in the 80s. I ran in the 80s, so it was yards. But yeah, 800 meter. Yeah. That's a tough race.
That was my specialty race. That was what I did best in.
Yeah, that's what my son does too. He runs the 800 and he runs cross country and then the mile and 2 mile too. So you enlisted, you said, and we'll talk about your service. You enlisted in like 99? Or 2000?
Yep, yeah. Right out of high school, I graduated year 2000, but I had talked to the recruiter before I even graduated high school, and my friend coaxed me into doing it. He's like, yeah, talk to this guy. And next thing you know, I'm signed up with the Army or National Guard, Army National Guard.
So were you one of those guys that you don't think you were ready for college? Because I know I wasn't. I went in right out of high school too.
Yeah, I didn't think I was ready either. Yeah, something like that. And I was already looking because I was actually, looks funny enough, I was looking at joining the Navy when my friend talked me into joining the Army National Guard instead.
Yeah, I actually started in the Navy. I joined the Navy in 1984 and went on nuclear submarines, fast tech submarines. And I was a nuke. I ran a nuclear power plant. So that was my background. I was an engineer. And I did 6 years in the Navy all the way up to the Gulf War. And we were an Arctic expedition boat. So we did what's called spec ops or special operations. We were going against the Soviets because the Berlin Wall didn't fall till 89. The Soviet Union was still a threat, especially 84 to 88. It was really high speed stuff. So we did the high speed, low drag missions. It was pretty cool. And then when the planes hit the buildings, I never planned to go back in the military, but when 9/11 happened, it changed everything. And when the war broke out in 03, I went back in. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I'll try to fast forward ahead a little bit here. I went to basic training, Fort Benning, Georgia. It was a fun time. Fast forward more. Yeah, 11 Bravo. I think I was told I was one of the last rotations through that had the hard basic training before they like started making it a lot easier for everybody. I had the 50-mile road march and all that fun stuff to do in it.
Wait, you didn't have a stress card that you could pull out?
No, I had no stress card. We get smoke for hours sometimes, right? No reason at all. I don't know. You remember the front back goes?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I think that destroyed my wrist, but luckily carnivore resolved that.
Oh, just being in the sand pits, man, doing the freaking mountain climbers and sand pits. I remember doing that forever. Yep. Oh my God. That was terrible. But
Finished that. No problem. Got home. I should say I went into basic training like 130 pounds. I came out 180 pounds, put on a ton of muscle weight. But then fast forward further, 9/11 happened. My unit got spun up and, hey, you're going to Iraq. I should say, first we went down and supported in New York City. We took up like guard posts and stuff.
Right. The airports and all that. I remember
around the airports, subways and whatnot. We did that for a little while. And then said, oh, now we're going to Iraq. And we went up to Fort Drum in the middle of the winter, did our train up to go over the desert. Yeah. So that was great. But while we were there, we basically, I don't know what the reason was it for, but for some reason they graded our performance, and my company in particular did much better than the rest of the companies in our battalion, our National Guard battalion, which is why we got separated from our National Guard unit, and we were attached to the Big Red One or First Infantry Division, and that put us in a different place when we went to Iraq than the rest of our guard unit. We went up to well, the rest of our unit was down near Baghdad.
Okay. And then how long did you serve?
I did 8 years in total, 6 active, 2 inactive.
Okay. And then when you got out, I'm sure you had the litany of things that we all get, the PTSD, the injuries, the arthritis, all the things start piling up, right?
Yeah. For me, we saw a lot of nasty stuff while I was over there. When I was over there, it was like just after, I think Saddam Hussein, I think that's the one, had just been found in his hole hiding, captured. So it was pretty rough in a lot of areas over there. When I was over there, we had a lot of casualties. We even had a few deaths in my company. Yes. One of the guys, unfortunately, a really good friend of mine. But yeah, when I got back, I can't say PTSD really hit me too hard. It hit a lot of my friends hard, unfortunately, because I knew some guys that actually committed suicide, unfortunately. But that was never something that really affected me, though. Talking about it gets me a little jittery, so if I'm shaking a little bit, because
what's there?
Probably because of that.
Yeah, and I think it manifests different for each person, but it's there for anyone that's experienced stuff like that. And I talk about the reason I started this channel is I've lost more people I know. I wouldn't say they're all friends, but people I associated with through suicide than combat in my career. And I did 20 years. And that's just a fact. I think anyone that's done a long time in, it's pretty common nowadays, unless you're like some frontline infantry ranger company that got caught up in something. But in the rest of the army, it's pretty normal. So you get out, and then what'd you do when you got out? You went to school or started?
I got back to work. I just picked up a job at a Walmart distribution center, local one that's around where I lived, just to help pay the bills and transition out of the military. I was still doing guard a little bit, but I didn't stay. I was near the end of my guard tour by the time I got out of Iraq. So I think I only stayed in a couple more years, and then I was doing the inactive. But from there, I basically was just on my own. I rented a room from one of my friend's houses for a while, living pretty much primarily on the SAD diet for the longest time during that whole time. Didn't really have any issues back then. Then I started school shortly after that. I got my bachelor's degree in computer science, and then I got a job working for the state as a software programmer. I maintain all the software for Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of New York. The software that's used when you go into the office, not any of the web applications. This is the stuff that you go up, you talk to a person, that person is using software that's registering your car or giving you your license or whatnot.
So you do all the back end stuff for the guys that are working, or the front end for them, but back end for civilians.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And so I actually worked in law enforcement for 5 years, and I stood up a 911 call center. So I'm a Linux sysadmin and Unix sysadmin. I can do some coding, but I'm not like you. I just did some JavaScript stuff and, basic stuff. Okay. So you do that. And then what's happening to your body? Are you getting further out of shape? Are you exercising? Are you?
Yeah. I think it came on fairly gradual for a while for me. Like my brothers, we all had, say, like almost like the good genes for staying fit and thin. And I didn't really start getting that metabolism slowdown that everyone seems to get until I basically turned 40.
Okay.
But basically from 30 to 40, it was like a very gradual thing for me. But by the time I was in my mid to late 30s, my back pain was the biggest thing for me. I still really wasn't overweight. I don't even think at my worst I was that heavy. At most, I'm 6 feet tall, and the most I got up to was 217 pounds.
Yeah, it wasn't too much. But you had inflammation. That's what your problem was.
Yeah.
What the pain?
I had a lot of inflammation in my back. And I was basically living like almost every day with pain in my shoulders. It felt like I was walking around with two knives stuck in my shoulder blades at all times, most of the time.
Yep.
And sleeping was really rough. I could only sleep 5 hours a night most nights because my back would hurt too bad after a while from laying in the bed.
Yeah, I know my back would be the same way. And in fact, since I'm an IT guy, I would switch and use my mouse left-handed and left my arm rest to get my back to rest because my right would start hurting so much. So I would switch hands, and I got good at using my mouse left-handed too. So I can use I'm ambidextrous with the mouse. Yeah, it's same kind of thing. That back pain is just persistent and it's cruel, man.
Yeah.
It changes your attitude. Like I would just not be a happy person because my back would be hurting all the time. And I would just, it changes everything. It really does. Yeah. Quality of life is amazing.
Yeah. For the longest time, I thought it was my chairs that were causing me, because around that time it was the virus we won't mention came up, and I was working from home a lot, sitting in the chair. And I thought my chair was causing me to just like constant rise in back pain since I was sitting so much. So I ended up spending probably like $2,000 to $3,000 going through different chairs, trying to find a chair that didn't hurt my back. To avail, nothing ever fixed my back, at least from chairs anyways.
Okay. And then, so that was your reason for trying carnivore. But you said you were doing something else before you went carnivore, right? You were doing keto or something, or?
Fasting. I started out with intermittent fasting, essentially.
Okay.
I stumbled upon this guy. I think his name is Dr. Sten Ekberg, Dr. Sten Ekberg, I think.
Okay.
And he was really big into fast. He was a keto guy, but I don't think I even registered that he was keto. He just talked about fasting. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I can try that. I just don't eat food for a couple of days and you lose weight. And it did work for me. I started eating healthier. Those like salads with lots of meat and whatnot, but rice and veggies and whatnot. Yeah. But I was still having like donuts and other things like that. I'd run to a local gas station. I got my exercise, and then I'd buy some donuts and coffee. But anyways, the fasting. So I would go, I started out, I'd fast for a day. I think I got up to about 3 days. And I did that for about 3 months before I stumbled on a carnivore video. And I had lost about 30 pounds doing it. It worked well for me, just making my body start to burn its fat through not eating food.
Yeah.
And then it was tough though, because when you're eating carbs, trying to fast, I'll tell you, after being carnivore now for about a year and a half, it's so much easier fasting on carnivore than it is.
100%. The carbs, you're just addicted and you're managing your addiction, and then you're depriving your addiction, and then you're refeeding it. It'd be like an alcoholic taking 3 days off drinking and then getting a bottle. You know, I mean, it's crazy, but that's what it is. And it is an addiction and it's pretty serious. We were just talking about this yesterday. That this is the superior and the easiest diet you can do, because you don't manage that addiction. You get rid of it. And that's the only way to do it. Even keto is, you're still managing. You're still feeding that addiction. Even if it's 20 grams of carbs or 40 grams of carbs, it doesn't matter if you're addicted. So yeah, I agree. This is way easier.
So I got about 3 months in doing the fasting. I was like, oh, cool, I'm losing weight. But at that same point, my back pain was going up and up and up.
Oh, really?
I think it was adding all those extra vegetables was like...
Just
bringing my back pain up more and more and more. So I was like, what's going on? It's great that I'm losing weight, but I'm in so much pain, I don't even care.
Yeah.
So this one time, somehow a carnivore video came into my feed on YouTube. And I was like, it was like something like, what would happen if you ate nothing but hamburgers for a month? And I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And basically, it was this Dr. Sten Ekberg guy, and he does these experiments on himself, essentially.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen the one where he ate just eggs every day.
He does eggs.
All those things.
Like bacon, too.
I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, he takes his blood work before and then blood work after. And basically, all his health markers got better doing meat only. I was like, okay. And I love meat. I've always loved meat. So I was like, sounds good to me. It wasn't even a hard choice for me. I was like, I'll try this. So I started August 2022, late August.
And then what was carnivore for you when you started? You said meat only, but I mean, what did you actually eat, and what did you avoid? How'd you start out with carnivore?
And probably hamburger. It was probably mostly the BBE, beef, butter, bacon, and eggs for the most part.
Okay.
With some steaks. Excuse me.
Yeah, I love the steaks, but I don't eat them very often. I usually eat ground beef way more.
Yeah.
Than I do
steak. I eat a lot of ground beef. like these days I go to the butcher, I can buy 10 pound bags of beef. I have burger molds that I can mold out 2 pounds of burgers and half pound patties each. And I just put them in the freezer and I make 20 patties per week essentially. And that's, you know, what I can eat.
I've just started eating more eggs because I've been reading about, egg yolks are, they have a lot of the same nutrients that your organs do. And I don't like eating the organ meat at all. And then the other thing is if you eat a full egg, the whites and the yolks, and you get the pasture raised one, it actually raises your testosterone. Especially if you eat it in the evening. So I've started eating four to six eggs an evening.
Yeah, I pretty much have 4 to 6 eggs every single day.
There you go. Yeah, you're doing it.
I run in a running club. So on Saturday mornings, I will have the rest of my people in my club are having their waffles and pancakes. I order 8 eggs and 2 sides of bacon.
Nice.
But yeah.
They must give you some looks, huh?
Yeah, everyone's used to it now. I'm trying to make it like a signature meal there. Nice. I keep ordering it over and over. All the waitresses know my order now at this point. I don't even have to tell them what I'm going to get because it's the same thing every time. But yeah, going back to when I started carnivore, it was tough though right in the beginning because I started carnivore late August. And then like the second week of September, we had a previously planned 1 week trip to Disney World. So that was rough trying to stay carnivore while I was down there. So I did find some restaurants that had some good steaks, and I got so many weird looks going up to the cafeterias, you know, when I was asking for nothing but eggs and bacon. So that was about the only thing I could get for breakfast there was eggs and bacon. And they're like, you don't want your, they thought I was weird to not want the waffles and pancakes and all that other stuff. I was like, no, just eggs and bacon. I did do coffee still at that time.
Yeah.
That's one thing I had kept in for a while. I don't do coffee now, but I did do coffee for a while. And I just slowly weaned myself off of that, essentially, the coffee.
Got it.
I switched over to a decaf because I got tired of dealing with the caffeine headaches.
Yeah.
And then I did decaf for probably four or five months. And eventually, I just had no interest in coffee anymore, just dropped it altogether.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about that, too, how, like, addictions kind of just drop away. Not even addiction, just, like, even habits. Like, I don't drink like I used to. I was talking to another soldier the other night and he quit smoking and he just ran out of cigarettes and didn't buy new ones. And just like, I don't need them. It's weird. Like you just don't need them. Right. So same with me with alcohol. It's like, I used to get a bottle every couple of weeks and now.
I've never smoked, but I used to like drinking my mixed drinks a lot casually.
Yeah.
I don't do that nearly as much now as I used to. I joined another runner group. Actually, they call themselves the beer runners. So they'll do a run and then drink beers after. I was doing that for a little while, but eventually I was like, no, I just don't feel good doing this. So I was like, I'll come join you for the run and, you know, socialize. Well, you guys can drink your beers. I'll just chill.
Just bring some sparkling water so you can have something in your hand. So you started this carnivore and then after a certain amount of months, you started feeling better. The pain went away, right? And then what happened after that? Like how long did it take for your body to start? When you noticed your pain started changing?
My back pain was gone within like a month. It was just gone.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was like, okay, this is working. It was rough, too. I realized I was addicted to sugar bad.
Yeah, me
too. That sugar withdrawal. That was rough. And then I did have the whole loose stool, that switchover process for a while. I think my intestines were a little more messed up than I thought even.
Yeah, you probably had a leaky gut.
Before that.
And,
yeah.
Now it's healed up and operating properly on a good, healthy biome that it's meant to be.
So,
what about your running? You started running again after that?
Yep. Shortly. About 6 months. But before that, the back pain went away. Then, as I was saying, I used to not be able to do push-ups because my wrists were so messed up from all that basic training, front, back, go stuff. I think in the month of November, one of those 3,000 push-up, whatever, November challenges or something. So I did 3,000 push-ups for the month, and it was like easiest thing I ever did. 100 push-ups a day, 30 days is like no problem. Okay, carnivore is doing something for me here.
Yeah, my body healed up. I healed up so many things. Some things won't because there's damaged tissue, but in the areas where everything's intact, the arthritis is gone, the strength is back, the mobility's back, all that stuff.
Yeah. I had a little bit of the arthritis stuff and probably some of my joints. I definitely had some of that. I had one issue with my right arm where if I held it up where it would go completely numb.
Wow.
And I also had an issue where I couldn't sleep on my right side at night. I'm generally a side sleeper, and I couldn't sleep on my right side for probably 3 years. And I had gone to the doctors to see, hey, I got this thing in my arm. I don't know what to do about it. Can you help me? All he basically is like, unless your arm goes completely numb, there's nothing we can really do. Okay. But that resolved itself within probably 2-3 months of carnivore. So now I can sleep on my right side again. Actually, I'll look at my wife once in a while if I want to, and while she's sleeping in the other side of the bed. I had some bowel bleeding that before carnivore that went away in carnivore. I actually did some experimenting with trying to bring things in here and there. I found out it's basically, I think, oats that causes the bowel bleeding. If I eat any oats, I immediately start having blood in my stool.
Wow. So, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So I pretty much have to avoid anything that's oats related.
What about allergies?
I didn't have any food allergies that I knew of.
Or like allergies to trees or ragweed or anything that, you know, any issues like that. Because I used to have terrible allergies and they cleared up completely.
Yeah, I don't think I had any allergies, though. I used to get colds much worse than I do now. Now, if I get a cold or something, it's more of it just feels like a nuisance in the background than full-blown sick and out of it.
Yeah, my colds, when I've been sick, they've been shorter for sure, much shorter. In fact, sometimes I think I just feel off for a day and then I'm back to normal the next day. And I think that would have been a full-blown sickness if I had not been carnivore. I think some of those might have been just like my immune system, because your immune system runs at full optimal power when you're on carnivore. So I think it really works well at fighting these diseases.
Definitely. Yeah, so I'll try to go forward. So after probably 3-4 months of carnivore, my body, I lost more weight. I think I got to some point where I was down about 40 pounds in total, including the fasting. And then I plateaued for a little while. I think it just, I don't know why. I was actually happy where I was at. And then all suddenly one day decided to drop another 20 pounds. I don't know. I think I hit an optimum nutrition level at some point, maybe. I don't know what it was, but I plateaued for a while, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, I dropped another 20 pounds of work. So now I sit at usually mid-160s is where I sit all the time now. It's not changed from that in the past year.
That's great for running. That's a perfect weight, man. You're not putting a lot of stress on, and you can move quick. So I think the body, as it goes down and plateaus and goes down and plateaus, it's just like healing stuff up, and it's prioritizing, and then it does get to the optimum level. And your diet changes too, like how much food and when I eat, all that changes for me. I mean, it all changed from when I started.
Yeah, I definitely eat it quite a bit. So I maintain my weight, but I'm probably normally consuming about 3,000 plus calories a day, most days, and just how much I eat.
And how old are you?
42.
Oh yeah, you're pretty young still. When I went to Warnosser Canada School, I was 45. And I was still eating standard American diet, although I did keto to get ready for that. And that helped a lot with the energy and the ability and losing weight. But I never had the healing. I was always in pain. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been carnivore in the military. It would have been great.
Yeah, I think that all the time. I was like, I wish I could go back in time to meet my teenager self and kick myself right in the butt and say, hey, you need to do just eat meat. Don't do anything else.
Yeah, exactly. My son did it for the summer. And then he ran the fall cross country season, and every race was a PR. And he went from being like, I don't know, one of the slower guys to the fifth fastest guy on the team, and actually placed in a race and knocked 2 minutes off his 2 mile time. That's a lot
Yes. 2 mile. Yeah.
Good. He said he just doesn't get tired. He just like runs and now he's even faster. Now he made the track team. And we'll see how he does. But he's actually dropped off the carnivore wagon, though, because he lives with his mom. We're divorced. And so now he's eating more of a standard American diet when he's with his mom. And with me, I let him do some keto. It's keto-vore. No seed oils, no sugar. But he can eat like some of the primal ketchup. And I give him some stuff like that.
I have a son, too. My son's 8 years old at the moment.
That's great.
He's really big into running like me. He's like top three usually in most races for his age group. He's really good. He tried to do carnivore like me for a while, but like you, my wife has no interest in carnivore whatsoever.
It's hard when they go to parties too, like pizza parties. Everyone has pizza parties, right? And then the birthday parties, yeah, with cupcakes and all that, and they bring them to school. So they're always loaded with sugar, which you don't want them to be antisocial. And it's pretty social. Food in America, food is very social.
That's one funny thing, like just mentioning pizza. I used to think I could live on pizza for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
I haven't eaten a pizza since I went carnivore. I used to eat probably. I used to buy the frozen Red Baron pizzas.
Yeah,
I'd eat like sometimes four a week.
One of the worst things you could ever eat too for your body. I mean, you should go look at the ingredients and see what's in those things. I used to eat them too, and those pizza rolls, the little pizza. Oh my gosh, I'd eat those when I was watching football. Those have got to be the worst food you can eat. Got to be.
Yeah, and I was like, I used to brag. I was like, oh yeah, I could stay thin and eat these like 1,700 calorie pizzas, no problem. Eventually it caught up with me, probably.
Oh, yeah. My body started changing in my 40s. And you're lucky you don't have to go through this, but it stopped responding to the exercise like it used to. Because I knew what my body responded like. I did it through my whole life. And then in my 50s, it just didn't respond. It was like, man, when I hit 51, 52, it was a brick wall, man. I'd work out and nothing seemed to change. And then until I went carnivore, which that was last year. So I went carnivore when I was 56. 56. And now I'm 57. I'll be 58 in May. And my 1 year carniversary is March 22nd. So right before my birthday, I'll be
57. Yeah, so yeah. I remember you saying you're coming up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get into. Yeah. So when I got about 6 months into carnivore, one day I just felt like, I think I can run again. Yeah, I just like a feeling came over me. I was like, I think I can try running now, because I had tried running over the previous 20 years because I hadn't done really much running at all since high school, and I had tried several times over the years to get back into running, but always something I'd have a foot issue would come up, or in my 30s it was mostly back pain that would bother me. I couldn't run because it felt like my back was falling apart while I was trying to run. But yeah, after 6 months, I was like, I think I can run. So I went and found a local running group, joined them, and just went out and started running. And I was doing well. I started to get, back in the swing of things pretty quick, much faster than I thought I would anyways. Within 2 months of starting to run, I signed up for a marathon, ran the marathon, completed the marathon.
Wow.
It wasn't the fastest marathon. I did it in 5 hours, but.
You still finished though. That's great.
But I still finished it.
So you never done one before, right?
And I had never done one in my life. I didn't even do a half marathon. The big, biggest race I've done was 15K, which is 9.3 miles. That was the longest race I've ever done.
I ran a half marathon when I was training for Warrant Officer Candidate School. I did run a half marathon. And that's when I was in my early 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so tough.
It was definitely tough. I hit the walls that people talk about when running marathons. My legs definitely got tired, but I managed to pull myself through it and finish. And then I kept on running after that. I did a trail marathon in August, not long after that. And then I ran another marathon. So I've done 3 marathons so far since I've been carnivore. Just since I started running marathons in general. I actually have another marathon coming up in less than a month now. I'll be going down to Pennsylvania to run a marathon.
That's cool.
This one I'm expecting to run it in I'm going to be going for qualifying for Boston Marathon, and I think I have a really good chance of actually running a 3-hour, 15-minute and qualifying for Boston, I think. So I'm going to be shooting for that.
Well, now that you're full carnivore and you've been doing these marathons and training for them, do you hit the wall still, or do you just cruise?
No, not so much. No. I did hit a bit of a wall on my third one because I ran it, and I didn't realize I had COVID when I was running it.
Oh, wow.
It depleted. I felt great. It was the funniest thing. I felt great until I didn't. And I actually ended up collapsing and passing out because of dehydration, just because of the COVID depleted my water faster than I could drink it. And I drank water throughout the whole marathon. I passed out a half a mile short of the finish. It was rough. Didn't deter me though.
Do you follow any of Tim Noakes' stuff? The runner's lore?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've watched a lot of Tim Noakes' stuff. Definitely low carb. I'm experimenting more now lately with going into a long run fasted.
Yeah.
So like this marathon coming up, I'm going to probably stop eating food. I'll probably have my last meal Friday night, and then I run the marathon on Sunday. So yeah. I'll be about a day and a half fasted. That way I know my body's going to be running completely off its fat stores.
He's big on that. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I was watching a video where he's talking about that fasted state running. Yeah, and I do my workouts in the gym fasted, and I never get tired. I just run out of time.
Yep.
Because I'm looking at the clock. I go to work.
Yeah, I've started experimenting with that already because I've been training up for this marathon. I've done a number of 20-plus mile runs over the past couple months, and I've run them fasted, and I feel best when I run them fasted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing an 18-mile run tomorrow morning, and I'm in a fasted state right now. I haven't eaten anything in over 24 hours right now.
Let me ask you about your mental health. What mental health things have you seen or changed that you've experienced or recognized through your...
Yeah, like I said earlier, I don't think I really had any issues with PTSD per se. Not that like shows, unless I really start talking about my experiences over there.
Yeah.
I don't think it really came up. I was always very, pretty level-headed, or I don't know how to describe it. I've never had depression. I find it hard sometimes to understand it just because I've never had it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could, just so I could empathize with people a little better. I just don't know what it means. I never really had that depression.
What about what about mental clarity, anxiety? Yeah, so how about motivation level?
Mental clarity definitely improved. And just being alert and more aware, especially after I got off the coffee and not needing the coffee anymore. I when I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to go. Like, I don't need anything. I'm ready to go right out the door. Oftentimes, I'm up at 4:40 in the morning to go do my 4-plus mile run.
Oh, yeah. For me, my mental clarity, but also like my motivation level and my confidence level went up. A couple things changed. My confidence level, just because I lost weight, I felt young again. So I was more confident in everything I did because I just felt like I was more capable like I used to be. So that, I would say that's mental. That's mental health changes. Also,
yeah, I definitely have more.
Go ahead.
I'll just say I definitely have more confidence too. Just, I remember that when I was at 217 pounds, I didn't really show the weight that well, but I was definitely always walking around with my gut sucked in, trying not to have that, like, have my shirt popping out a little bit, the little gut showing. Just now, to wear shirts and just see completely flat shirt drop, it definitely boosts your confidence as a guy, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a couple things, too, that I was reading some research on fasting. And this is a fasting-mimicking diet, right? Carnivore puts your body in a fasted state, although not fully fasted. Like when you fully fast, like you're doing now, you're really going into fasted state. And that changes some chemistry. But being in a fasted state mentally, the addictions drop away, the ability to, and they used to treat in the 1930s, in the 20s and 30s, they used to treat alcoholism and opiate addiction with fasting because they knew it helped people drop those addictions. And I think that's something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, when I dropped my coffee caffeine addiction, that went away really easy because I was still doing a lot of the fasting at that point. And it just felt so easy to get off the caffeine when I was fasting.
And you probably weren't even looking to quit that, right? It's not like you were like, oh, I got to quit this. I'm sure.
No, mostly I had liked drinking coffee just because I liked the taste of coffee for the most part. But I hated dealing with the caffeine headaches because it's like it almost demanded you to keep drinking it. But I didn't want to always keep drinking it because of the stupid because of the headache. I just wish I could drink coffee and not have the caffeine addiction. Yeah. That's why I went to the decaffeinated for a while. But eventually, I think I just lost interest in altogether in coffee.
Yeah, and it's expensive too. It's not a cheap habit. It's really not. When you start looking at it over a year.
I used to stop at the shop on the way to work every day and buy like a $2 coffee. It's like $14 a week. And it adds up after a while.
Heck yeah, it does. And then the coffee you buy at home, because you probably had to have some at home, or do you just buy it on the road?
I pretty much only drank coffee when I went into work. I didn't drink several cups a day, but that's probably why I got annoyed with dealing with headaches all the time because of caffeine. Because that's one thing that I should mention that too, actually, in terms of mental clarity. I used to get headaches and migraines all the time.
Me too.
Before carnivore. Yeah. And then because I popped ibuprofen like it was candy for both my headaches and for my back pain. Even though it didn't really do much for the back pain, but I did it for the headaches. I was taking the max dosage of ibuprofen you could take a day, a lot of days. And that stuff's not very good for you, from what I've seen some studies and people talking about that. I haven't had a single ibuprofen since I went carnivore. I don't get headaches anymore, unless I'm experimenting with something I shouldn't. Now I like it. If I have a little sugar and my I have too much, I'll get a little slight like slight nuisance headache in the back of my head saying, "Hey, you should stop eating that."
Yeah, your body really tells you. I think it's so sensitive because when it runs clean for a while, it just shows how bad this poison is. And we've just basically, our body was so jacked up that you didn't really notice it, but it was always there. And yeah, it's just, it's amazing. It's so sad that we were lied to and they came up with these crazy dietary guidelines and what's safe and what's good to eat. And I thought I was eating healthy. I'm sure.
Yeah, I was.
Not when you were
I was pretty mad, but I was pretty mad when I found out. Like, I was like, I wish, why didn't I know about this sooner? I was so mad that I can just resolve my back pain so easy. Because actually, one thing I should mention is like, I had been going to my chiropractor to help with the back pain. It didn't really help with the back pain, but it helped for like a day right after he did the whatever this massage and adjustment, cracked all your bones. One night it feel slightly better, and then it'd come back the next day. But he would tell me I had a lot of inflammation in my vertebrae.
Really?
Yeah, he said that's why I was having the pinched nerves. It was swelling up my vertebrae around the back of my neck and spine. So I went back and actually saw him probably not 10 months after being carnivore. And he said all the inflammation in my back was gone that he had previously seen.
Wow. And he could tell like, by feeling it? Or did he like...
Yeah, apparently he could tell it by just feeling it.
Wow.
So I was really surprised. He was actually really excited because he was telling me that he does a low carb. He doesn't do like carnivore, but he does like a low carb diet. And he was saying low carb's really good for you. But I was like, wishing he didn't mention that to me before, I would have tried it. But he doesn't like, most people aren't very receptive to trying stuff like that. So he doesn't talk about like diet as a way of getting rid of your back pain. Cause I said, I went carnivore and my back pain went away. And he's like, yeah, I can feel it literally in your back.
But you're right, most people don't want to talk about that, or if they do, they want to justify their diet or defend what they think is healthy, even though it's not scientifically, it's proven it's not. But it's crazy because I talk about that. I'm a single guy, so when I go on dates, I always run into the three hills people will defend to the death, and it's religion, it's politics, and it's diet. Those are the three, and if you vary on those, you're probably not going to be a good match because that's foundational stuff.
I've tried to convince some of my family to do it, but none of my family, they're like, at this point, they're like, yeah, we see you doing great things for you, but it's not for us. Like, but it is for you. It should be for you.
Yeah. My dad's the same way. I mean, my sister and my brother are doing it. My dad, he didn't want to hear about it. And then he watched that video with Chris Kenobi on seed oils and sugar and cancer and all the diseases of the West, right? The modern diseases. Yeah. And then he calls me and he's like, yeah, that guy had some good points. And he goes, I got to watch that again. And I'm like, okay, good deal, Dad. He finally looked at it. And then he wouldn't look at it for the longest time. And then he's like, but I'm still going to eat my Hellman's mayonnaise. And I said, well, Dad, that's okay. But at least now it's informed consent. Before you thought that was healthy. And I did too. And now you know it's not. So, you know, I'm good with that. As long as they know.
Yeah. When I first started, I had to listen to my family tell about how they're like, they would avoid all fats because they thought the fat was like what's clogging their arteries.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my mom thinks eating fat clogging their arteries, but the sugar is okay for some reason. I was like, no, Mom, the sugar is what's clogging your arteries. Why you have all those stents?
yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because no one talked to you about your diet when you're eating pizza, right? They're like, oh, he just eating pizza. He's just eating Oreos. He's just eating ice cream, whatever. And it's
it was normal. It's okay.
No big deal.
Yeah. Now that's I'm great. The weird one. Even though I'm in the best shape of my life, pretty soon probably be qualifying for a Boston Marathon.
That's amazing. I'd love to, man. I hope you do qualify. And then maybe we can get back after your marathon. You can tell us about how it went. That'd be fantastic. So tell me about your sleep quality. As you said, you couldn't sleep on one side before. Now you can, obviously. But
yeah, I can sleep both sides now, either way, on my back. The one thing I noticed is definitely clear is I think my nose is clear. I used to have trouble. I used to be a sleep with my and breathe through my mouth, which dries out your mouth and does a lot of bad things to your teeth. I think since I went carnivore, I have reduced swelling or congestion in my nose or something. So I can sleep and breathe through my nose all night now without issue. I'm pretty sure I don't snore anymore. I used to snore.
Yeah, I think that's part of the allergies that I used to have. They're gone. I can actually breathe through both my nostrils. For 2 decades, I couldn't breathe through one nostril. And I used to go to doctors and say, go in a hot shower and do this and breathe 5 times and breathe 5 times. And it never cleared. But on this diet, it cleared. Oh, yeah.
You know, it'll clear your nose even faster. You take an ice cold shower instead of a hot shower.
Yeah.
Because that forces all your that's one thing I like to do too. I like to take ice cold showers and ice baths. I'm into that stuff too. But it forces all your veins to open up fully and blood flow goes everywhere. And especially in your nose. Like I can take an ice cold shower and everything just drains out of my nose.
That's cool.
Where were we? Sorry, I got off topic.
All right.
Oh, you sleep. So yeah, I can breathe through my nose, sleep. I can sleep. I don't generally sleep up to 8-10 hours, but I can if I want to now. It doesn't bother my back anymore to do that.
How long do you typically sleep? Because I only sleep about 6-6.5 now, and I feel like...
Yeah, I probably only sleep 6 to 7 hours most nights. That's comfortable for me. But I can sleep more when I want to.
Yeah, I feel I wake up like you. I'm sprung out of bed, like ready for action. Let's go do something. It's crazy.
Yep. Usually I have one long... I usually sleep like 5 hours. That's the solid where I'll go to bed and I won't wake up until 5 hours later. And then I'll usually have a bathroom break at once during the night. And then after that, it's usually I sleep a couple hours at a time, but it's still good sleep. I go right back to sleep, no problem. Unlike these, I'd have trouble getting back to sleep or my back would be in too much pain. It'd be hard to get back to sleep. I used to have issues with overheating the bed. I don't know if I'd have to get up and literally get out of my bed, go sit in a chair somewhere for a little while, do something until the bed cooled down because I'm like a furnace apparently, but that's not much of an issue anymore. I haven't had that issue where I like overheat the bed and have to get out and let the bed cool off.
Hey, how about sweating? Do you sweat as much as you used to? Because my body temperature control is much better than it used to be. I used to sweat like at the drop of a hat, and now I got to work out pretty hard to sweat.
Yeah, I don't think I sweat as much. Right now I'm running in the winter, so I'm not sweating much at all right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm running out there in sometimes single-digit weather. I think my sweating is definitely a little improved. It definitely doesn't smell as bad. I know my body odor is much better than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Me too. That's cool. All right, well, let's talk about your motivation. Like, this is not... Well, it is kind of easy, but I mean, what's your motivation? What is your why? Is it to keep running? Is it to be around for your kid longer?
Definitely keep running. Also because I feel great. I have the heart rate monitor on my watch and I have the resting heart rate of a Olympic athlete now. It's like, yeah, but I'm not an Olympic athlete yet. I scare the doctors. It's like my resting heart rate's so low. I get down to like the low 40s. And actually one time last week, my watch thought I was throwing up emergency because I actually dipped down into the upper 30s. Just how relaxed I was or something, I guess, while I was at work. But yeah, it's just like to keep that, like the good health. I had a CAC score done at some point and I was a 0. So I was happy about that, considering all the pizzas I used to eat.
Right. And how long have you been carnivore? 2 years now, right? Is your second year?
I'm going on to my second year. I'm working through my second year. I'm about probably 1 year, 7 months in, approximately, something like that, probably around there. Of course, I have to stick to it. I've experimented, tried to eat other things outside, tried to bring things back in, and I just end up getting the back pain comes back if I try to add too much sugar back. Because I tried doing low carb experiment for a while, where I brought in things like raw dairy, and I was doing yogurt, stuff like that. But I can do some. But if I start having it too much, that brings in too much sugar and I start getting the back pain, it will come back. So I basically have to stay pretty low carb to no carbs for the most part.
What about cravings? Do you notice cravings come back when you add too much sugar too or no?
I don't think I get too much of cravings. I'm one of the rare, I'm more of a moderator. I can have a sweet thing here or there if I want and it doesn't bother me. I don't get cravings to eat more of it. I feel lucky in that because I can have some of that stuff once in a while though. Sometimes I will do it when I shouldn't do it. And maybe that's a craving that I'm just not recognizing. I don't know. But right now, I'm being extremely clean right now, just baking beef butter, bacon, and eggs right now, because I want to be optimal strength for that marathon that's coming up. But I will sometimes, I dip towards like the keto war side. I have a little bit here and there, just try to bring back, mostly in terms of like spices and low-carb condiments. That's about as far as I go. I was doing, for a while I tried like bringing, just to appease my mother-in-law, I tried eating broccoli and stuff for a little while. It didn't seem to bother me, but I didn't care to eat it.
It doesn't taste great. I wouldn't look forward to that.
Yeah.
I do some seasonings too sometimes. And like I make stuff for my son. There's a pumpkin spice keto soup that I make for him. And I have some of that sometimes. It's got like sausage in it, but it's got seasonings in it. It's got like different things. Yeah. And it tastes good, but I don't eat a lot of it. I just like to have a little bit. But again, yeah, my whole relationship with food's completely changed. It's not an entertainment anymore. It's more like a function. Yeah, like definitely. You, I'm going to the gym. I'm trying to get best results I can. So I try to eat pretty clean.
Yeah. Lately, I think I'm basically through with my experimental phases now at this point. I've tried a few things here and there that I could, just to see what would happen. But yeah, every time I do, I regress essentially. So I know, I got to tell myself, I know 100% carnivore is the best. So I just got to stick to that, essentially.
Yeah, I think part of the carnivore journey is learning your body and how it responds, because everyone's an N equals one, right? I mean, there's general rules like, okay, we should all eat meat. We should not eat vegetables. Yep. But each person has a little bit different reactions based on where they're at. Like you look at Michaela Peterson. I don't know if you know Jordan Peterson, Michaela Peterson. She can't eat aged meat. Well, I can eat aged meat all day long, right? And you probably can too. So it's just, each person's a little different.
And yeah, I generally, I think it's called what age my, I age my steaks usually before I cook them.
Yeah.
I'll take them out of the bag or freezer. I'll salt them on both sides and then just let them sit in the fridge for a couple of days. And they just soak up all that salt and they taste amazing once you cook them on the grill.
Yeah, I agree. And what's your favorite steak? Is it ribeye?
I honestly can't say that ribeye is my favorite. I like ribeye. If I go out and eat it, I think I gotta get a hotter grill. I think I don't think my grill's good for cooking ribeye. I like a really good sear. I actually really like sirloin, even though they're not as much fat. But yeah, I put tons of butter on it when I do have the sirloins. I like butter, and I think you mentioned sour cream. Sometimes I'll do that too.
Yep.
I like sour cream with a little bit with my eggs sometimes. As well.
It's a good condiment. Yeah, I do it. I do that. And then have you ever done the frozen ribeye in an air fryer?
No, actually, I got to get an air fryer. We had an air fryer, but it got recalled. So like my wife got rid of it and took it back or something. So I don't got an air fryer right now. I got
to
get
one that goes to 450, because that's the magic number. I think 400, you can do it at, but 450 is just superior. And my son loves nothing more than our ribeyes in the air fryer at 450 frozen, right? You freeze them. And then you throw them in there frozen after you salt them, and the salt sticks to it. Then you air fry it, and it takes about 20 something minutes. But I tell you, the outside's so crispy, it's got that. And then the ends are a little bit done; they're like kind of burnt ends. They're good though. But then when you get in the middle, it's all medium rare, right? So it's perfect.
Yeah. But I know I didn't mention sirloin, but the sirloins I get, I don't know the farmer, because I go to a local farm. I've been getting the sirloins at. They have these really big, long strips of fat on them. They leave the fat right on the sirloins a lot of times. So, I mean, I'm definitely getting the long strips of fat. With
I think they call it a fat cap when it's like on the outside like that. Yeah.
Yep.
That's really good. And all right. So I'll tell you what, we're coming up on, we're 55 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you the floor. And if you were talking to other veterans, like your buddies, I don't know if you keep in touch with them, or any veterans that might be watching this, maybe curious about carnivore, what would you tell them, or first responders? What would you tell them? What advice would you give them if they wanted to start, or if they wanted to check this thing out? Would you tell them to be a carnivore, and why?
Yeah, I definitely reach out to any of them. Tell them, you know, especially some of them. I think I mentioned in some of your chats before, you know, I'm in a Facebook group with all my fellow soldiers that were in my company.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do reach out for help when they're having some mental health issues. And we meet once a year for a big barbecue. I think this year when I go meet, I am going to try to put the carnivore bug in some of their ears and be like, hey, we're at this barbecue. If you just ate the meat and not all the sides, you'd be feeling much better. But yeah, I would tell them basically what it's done for me. Because I know a lot of my fellow soldiers aren't in shape anymore, unfortunately. I see they're not in the best of mental health occasionally. And I just would like to see them get better and not have to reach out for help. I mean, maybe they'd be the ones, if they started it, that could be the ones helping other people if they cleared up their mental health issues.
I think I say this a lot, that, you know, we in this society, we are the warrior class, whether you're first responder or military, and we're taught to suck it up and drive on. So a lot of them suffer in silence. They don't want to complain. They don't want to go to a doctor. They don't want to go to a therapy an analyst or something. They want to be better, but they don't want to take it to other people. And I think this is the one thing that you can do that doesn't cost money. You don't have to join a program. You don't have to tell people you're doing it. You can just do it at home and self-manage. Yep. And that's the magic for me. And for, I think for a lot of veterans is, hey man, what do you got to lose? Right. Where you're not liking where you're at now, just change to meat for 4 weeks and see what happens. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Just switch to meat for 1 month. Try it. Give it a shot. If you can, 90 days, because I think a lot of the times 90 days is about optimal.
Yeah.
But even a month, I saw a lot of results just in 1 month for me.
I think the first month I saw a lot of pain go away and I saw my mental clarity change and my confidence. And I lost 26 pounds in the first month. I did. Yeah. And that's huge for mental. I felt probably better than I looked.
Yeah, definitely. But,
And then of course, the next 90 days. Yeah, I think you have to go 100 days to be a full carnivore. I really do. About 100 days, and then your body's like done a full transition. You still may not be fully healed, but at least your body's fully onto that transition. Your new habits are being developed. But the first 30 days, if you could just do 30 days and be strict on it, I think you just...
I actually had to drop eggs for a while. I think I had an issue with eggs for a little while, so I dropped them for probably about 3-4 months, and then it was just doing meat, and then eventually I reintroduced them and I was fine.
Like a histamine reaction or something?
Maybe so I had to heal my gut a bit more.
That happens. And I was watching Judy Cho, and she has an interesting channel, because she, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's a doctor.
Yeah, I know her too. And I watch pretty much every carnivore YouTuber, I think.
She does a lot of one-off cases, right, where people are like, I can't eat this. And then she does research and finds out why this one person, she takes on patients and finds out why they're having this. And then usually they get past it. If they've been on carnivore, they adjust their diet like you did, and then they come back. So she's even said like the histamine reactions to chicken or pork can go away, because that could be part of the carnivore transition. And then later you can bring back in. Although I really don't miss pork other than bacon.
Yeah.
And chicken, I don't miss it all.
I don't do much pork other than bacon. I do love my bacon, but that's pretty much the only pork I eat. Occasionally, I might have a sausage, but that's...
I used to love a smoked pork chop. It was really juicy and it smoked properly, like in a restaurant. And I haven't done my own, but I used to do pork chops too, and I haven't done those. When I was keto, I did them.
See, I was always... Before carnivore, I was always kind of like, other than bacon, I was always like anti-pork because it had a lot of fat. I was a picky eater. I always avoided the fat before carnivore.
That's so crazy, right?
Yeah. Now I'm just like, the fat just melts in your mouth, and I'm like, why did I avoid this?
Now let's talk real quick about your YouTube channel that you're starting up, or you haven't started yet, but you've got it reserved, right?
Yeah, I kind of reserved a YouTube channel. At some point, I'd like to just start up thing, maybe talking about myself and carnivore in terms of running. Especially lately, I've been experimenting more with fasting and running. I've also started dipping my toes into something called dry fasting, where you don't drink water or eat food.
I've dry fasted before. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's what my body's running on metabolic water. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah,
I did that today. I just got off of a 24-hour dry fast, and now I was sipping some water because I don't really want to do 18 miles dry fasted just yet. I'm working myself into that.
That's good stuff. So I think a channel like that would be very valuable, because you can share your cold plunging, your cold shower techniques, all this. This is really important stuff for athletes. I have another, I don't know if you saw another interview with Dave Saunier, he's a long distance bicyclist. So he does like 100-mile rides all the time and stuff. And he's a lean mass hyper responder. I suspect you probably are too. I don't know if you had it checked out, but
we didn't talk about blood results. I did. I had my blood work done 1 year after carnivore.
Yeah.
And I was so ready to have that argument with my doctor about my cholesterol being high, but my cholesterol actually went down like 30 points.
Okay, so you're not a lean mass hyper responder.
Apparently not. I had the best cholesterol numbers I've ever had in my life. Actually, I was hoping my cholesterol would be over 200, but it was like 170 something total.
Yeah.
You're perfect. No. You're good to go. I was like, sure.
I want to whip out the number needed to treat. Like, do you know the NNT on that, doc? What's the relative risk? Yeah. What's the absolute risk? Can you tell me? And if they can't tell me that stuff, I don't want to be cruel, but I want to like hammer them and say, you need to be the expert here. I shouldn't be telling you this stuff. You should be telling me.
My HDL was way, way up and my triglycerides are way, way down.
That's great, like, man.
And I had never had my HDL. My HDL had always been low. And I'd never had optimal HDL before carnivore. And
mine was too.
The first year.
Yeah, mine was too. They were always telling me to eat like, I don't know, almonds and stuff. Like, hey, you got to eat avocado and stuff. Like, and I thought I was, but it was just, I wasn't eating enough meat. So, cool. So Meatarian Runner will be a channel in the future. I am pretty confident. And when it is, let me know. I'd love to feature it on my, also I have a hump day hangout. You can always join if you want to talk carnivore stuff or talk running, on there.
Sure, that might get me into it a bit more. I've enjoyed coming into your hump day channel and just chatting. I was talking about running and fasting and stuff, I think a couple weeks ago on there.
It's hard for me to catch all of it because there's so many things going by. So I probably missed it, but you can feel free to always join. And if you just, I'll send you an email with the Calendly link, just like I did for this, and you can just register if you want to join one and talk so you can be a guest. All right. Well, I'm going to drop you out, man. Thanks for stopping by. It's been great. It's a great conversation and I'm looking forward to seeing Meatarian Runner down the road.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully I get on. I just got to get it started.
Yeah. No, it's no big. If you need help, like picking editing software and stuff, I've got a lot of great stuff I use. It's free or they have paid versions that are really good. It makes life easy. So I can help you out with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to drop you out. Stick around for a minute. We'll say goodbye after I say goodbye to all the folks here, okay?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. All right, guys. Another awesome interview. Just love talking to patriots, fellow veterans, and first responders who've gone carnivore and hearing their experience and how it's changed their lives. If you're interested in carnivore diet, check out some more of my videos. I've got a starter series of videos that'll help you start up. Or if you have a friend or loved one who's a veteran or a first responder, share that with them. Let them know, hey, this might help you guys, or it's definitely not going to hurt. So I recommend you check it out or share it with friends. And all I got to say now is stay strong and overcome. Carnivore Soldier out.